Blessing Zulu.
Neni jonga kande miri tokusiya mina Sandra na Chris.
Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, March 17th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to you on 909 Medium Wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Chitungwiza municipality owes its workers more than $10 million in unpaid salaries while managers are fully paid and receiving payments in advance. Parliament heard today.
What I'm saying is that we don't see evidence of service delivery, but they've collected more than $14 million.
Factionalism in the Tsvangirai MDC formation depends despite claims by the leadership that the warring parties have patched up their differences.
Well, the party is a constitution. In terms of the constitution, the organizing secretary and indeed the organizing committee have the power to deal with the, all cases of misdemeanor, indiscipline or untoward conduct.
And civil society organizations in Manicaland call on the government to halt all diamond mining operations in Marange.
The Chitungwiza municipality owes its workers more than $10 million in unpaid salaries, Parliament heard today. The Satellite Towns Workers Committee told lawmakers ordinary employees are wallowing in poverty while senior management are paid up and in some instances given salaries in advance. Ivan Chifera has details from Harare.
Chitungwiza Municipality Workers Committee Chairman Ephraim Katsina told the Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare Portfolio Committee, workers have gone for 11 months without pay, while senior management, who get hefty salaries and allowances, get their money on time. He said, though Town Clerk George Makunde and his management team claim they are also owed money by council, the committee's evidence, including bank statements showing management is fully paid and has been advanced salaries, some of them up to May this year. Katsina handed over the bank statement to the committee as evidence. He also alleged that council has secret bank accounts from which management is being paid, adding managers had also illegally inflated their salaries.
A case in point is payments made to the town clerk, Mr. George Makunde, in March 2013. From the bank statement from Metbank, Mr. Makunde was paid $6,500 in his ZB account, a number 41163865250. That was on the 22nd of March 2013. Yet his payslip for the same month indicates his salary was $4,084.25. And in January, Mr. Jim Makunde, the town clerk, his payslip also indicated $4,084.25, but at the bank you got $10,000.
Katsina told lawmakers senior management salaries were no longer being processed by the town council salaries officer, adding the human resources director is now in control, a move he said was designed to hide information from the workers. He said the committee approached Mayor Philip Mtoti over the issue of salaries and alleged corruption, but the mayor branded them liars. Katsina said the committee will investigate the municipality's finances to make sure employees are paid their outstanding salaries. He said workers have evidence that the council collected $14 million from January 2013 to date and only $4 million was used for employment costs, while the rest cannot be accounted for. He explains service delivery is also suffering as a result of this financial mismanagement.
What I'm saying is that we don't see evidence of service delivery, but they've collected more than $14 million.
Both town clerk George Makunde and Mayor Mutoti could not be reached for comment. Findings by a special investigations team appointed by the local government ministry revealed the non-payment of Chitungwiza town council workers induced them into deals with some businessmen where they illegally sold council land to desperate home seekers. Meanwhile, the Judicial Service Commission has begun implementing the new constitution by asking members of the public to participate in the selection of judges to the Supreme and High Courts. According to advertisements in newspapers, three positions of judges are up for grabs in the Supreme Court and another three in the High Court, and members of the public have up to the 14th of April to nominate candidates. The Commission said nomination forms can be obtained from the Commission's offices in Harare and provincial magistrate offices around the country. Completed forms and attached nominees' curriculum vitae must be submitted to the Commission by the 14th of April this year. Justice Portfolio Committee Chairperson Jessima Jome commended the Commission for following the new charter, urging the executive to follow suit by making sure all pieces of legislation are aligned to the new constitution. She urged members of the public to participate in the process. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The factionalism in the MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai is deepening despite claims by the leadership that the warring parties have patched up their differences. Senior members of the party, such as Secretary General Tendai Biti, Youth Assembly President Solomon Madzore, and Youth Secretary General Promise Mkwananzi, who are suspected to be calling for leadership renewal in the Labour-backed party, have not attended the rallies held by party leader Morgan Tsvangirai in Budiriro, Glenora B, Chitungwiza, Mavuku, and this weekend in Bulawayo. Biti and party organizing secretary Nelson Chamisa are also said to be clashing on the suspension of some party members in Manicaland and Matabeleland North, where members have been suspended for being allegedly sympathetic to suspended Deputy Treasurer General Elton Mangoma. Those suspended in Manicaland are Chairman Julius Mangoma and Julius Magaramomba, and spokesman Pishai Mchauraya. Though Chamisa suspended them, Biti is said to have called the move unprocedural. Biti refused to comment when reached for comment, but Chamisa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that stubborn members will be suspended.
Well, the party has a constitution. In terms of the constitution, the organizing secretary and indeed the organizing committee have the power to deal with the all cases of misdemeanor, indiscipline or untoward conduct.
But the Secretary General of the party, Mr. Biti, we understand, wrote contradictory letters. What is happening?
Yes, we have since met and resolved this issue. The contradiction was in error, and this matter has been resolved. It's very clear that there are four different organs that have the power to suspend an individual or a member in the party. The first one is the National Council of the party. The second one is the National Executive of the party. The third one is the National Standing Committee as chaired by the President. The fourth one is the Organizing Committee as chaired by the Organizing Secretary of the party.
But Mr. Chamisa, there are some members in your party who are saying only a few individuals are being targeted. But on social media, they are seeing that as for the party, it's now a free-for-all. Members are just attacking each other, but others are spared the axe.
Whoever has a case to answer, they will have to answer for themselves. Yeah, you cannot say because others are stealing, so I should continue stealing. You cannot say that because others have stolen and they have not been arrested, why are you arresting me? You may not know. It has started with you and it's going to all those who are supposed to be in trouble.
MDC Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa in Harare. But Mchauraya dismissed the charge, saying he was being targeted for daring to challenge for a senior position in the party.
I haven't yet received a written notification regarding my suspension, but I've been told by Nelson Cobra Chamisa that I'm facing suspension, but I'm still waiting for that suspension letter. I attended the National Council meeting. I also attended the provincial executive meeting on Saturday here in Mtare, but I haven't yet received that suspension letter.
But what we are hearing from the party is that you are facing charges of insubordination by what they are alleging to be demeaning statements that you have made against the leadership of the party.
If I did so, they have to clearly state exactly what statements I uttered, which demean the office of the president, the office of party leadership. They have to state it categorically. And provided those statements are worse off than the statements being uttered by Charlton Wende and Obed Nguto against other senior party leaders, it's called, this is what we call, they're just targeting voices of dissent in the party.
But we understand the Secretary General wrote some letters to those who had been suspending, saying it was unprocedural. Did you receive the said letter?
Yes, when I was informed that I'm facing suspension, I tried to head office seeking clarification on whether I was suspended. And the response I got from the Secretary General was that I was not on suspension, and it was clearly stated that all official correspondences must come from the office of the Secretary General, as stipulated by the constitution of our party. Not this tendency we are seeing being generated by Nelson Kobra Chamisa, that wherever he is, he can write a letter suspending anyone whom he thinks is a threat to his position or to that of Morgan Richard Tsvangirai. We are supposed to be free to contest any position. Like myself, I have to contest the higher office. I have been the spokesman for the past 3 terms. I now need to move to another position, but I can't, because if I express that interest, I'm told I'm suspended. It's curtailing democracy.
And that was suspended MDCT spokesman for Manicaland, Pishai Muchawaraya in Mutare.
Meanwhile, a war of words has erupted between two former MDC Ncube legislators who joined the Tsvangirai MDC at the weekend and their former party. Siyabonga Malandu Ncube, a former Insiza South MP and former Mangwe legislator, Edward Mkosi, were paraded at a MDCT rally in Bulawayo on Saturday. The pair announced late last year that they were quitting Ncube's party over differences with the nomination of Secretary General Priscilla Misiairambwe Mshonga to represent Matabeleland South under the proportional representation system. A spokesman Nhlanhla Dube tells Studio 7 the two were no longer members of the party and should therefore not be regarded as defectors.
Preposterous to say someone that was not a member of your party has defected. The reality of the matter is that yourself, as Studio 7, carried the interview with Siyabonga Malandu Ncube when he announced that he was leaving our political party, and that's some while ago. So to now want the world to believe that after telling even yourself and the whole world through yourself that he has defected, he has now miraculously again become a member of the MDC who has defected to Morgan Tsvangirai's party. It's preposterous. It's not true. It's false. It's a creation to try and move people's attention from Tsvangirai's burning house. We know that Mangoma was beaten. We know that Mangoma was called names because of his physical disability. We know that Tendai Biti had to hide under Tsvangirai's jacket to hide away from the marauding youth. We know that Thomas Mkwananzi was chased into a toilet. We know that Solomon Matore found somewhere to hide in that building when he was running away from the youth. That is what they don't want the world to talk about. But we have refused to comment about what goes on in the MDCT as a party. We are not interested. It's their internal issues which they should deal with within their party. But if they invite us to comment about what's going on in their party by lying that we've got members who are defected, when those people were not our members, Mkosi and Mlandu, Malandu alike, were not our members anymore, we will certainly comment. Otherwise, we will not be bothered about what Tsvangirai does in his burning house or his drowning in the deep end. It's not our issue and our concern.
That was Nhlanhla Dube, the spokesman for the Welshman Ncube-led MDC. But Malandu Ncube says he's not happy with the way that the Ncube MDC has taken his move to rejoin the Tsvangirai MDC.
No, it's true. I resigned in October last year. And actually, I phoned the president of MDC, Welshman Ncube, and he talked because the reason being that of Priscilla Missy Irambu being actually made the member of actually to represent Mad South. And it was clear. And he didn't say anything and until today. But I was shocked when actually in today's paper he started barraging, insulting me. Even Chamisa, when he was introducing us, he said we have here Sebonga Malandi Nube. He actually is a former member of parliament for Nsiza South. He actually resigned from Welshman in October last year. And I'm shocked where is he getting this. And I think Nsanta owes me an apology before we take a legal action. I will see my lawyers, then we can see what we'll do about it. Because we don't want to be seen as people from this region fighting each other.
Mr. Malandi Nube, you were a member of parliament. Now that you have crossed the floor, are you going to be an ordinary member or you are going to be given a position in the MDCT?
No, that one for the position is all up to the MDCT executive to decide. I'm not the one. Actually, what I've done, I'm just a new member. They will decide. If they see there is a potential, then they will give me a post. If they're not, I'm just an ordinary member.
That was Siyabonga Malandi Nube, a former legislator for Nsiza South.
Civil society organizations working in the extractive sector in Manicaland say the government should consider urgently halting all mining operations in Marange to allow independent auditing of all firms in the controversial fields to avoid further leakages they say are prejudicing the state of millions of dollars annually. Correspondent Loida Moyo hears the story.
Speaking at a press briefing in Mutare today, the mining and environment watchdog organizations, the Center for Research and Development, CRD, and the Zimbabwe Natural Resources Dialogue Forum, ZNRDF, said the government must immediately stop all mining operations in Marange and start afresh to make sure deals reached with firms interested in the diamond do not shortchange the country. CRD Acting Director James Mfumi said a geological mineral survey of the Marange diamond fields should be carried out to ascertain the quantum and value of the gems in the area. The survey would be an important negotiation tool for any future engagements with the foreign partners, he said.
I think civic society, especially from this region where diamonds are being mined, they lacked a coordinated response. Issues to do with the resource, especially the precious mineral like diamonds, affects everyone, the media fraternity, the mining community, the Zimbabwean population at large. And it is in our interest to coordinate, to have one voice on issues of accountability and transparency that are affecting service delivery, that affects us, are affecting our parents who are the immediate communities that have been excluded from benefiting from this diamond resource. So the media houses, civic society has been largely divided because of minute interests, and we believe the time now is upon us to reflect on the loss of Marange diamonds due to smuggling, due to leakages, due to corruption, whilst we do not take it upon ourselves to sit down and coordinate our work and come up with a strong voice to stop poor corporate governance practice in the mining sector in the region.
Mufumi adds the government should expeditiously enact a new minerals policy that promotes accountability and transparency, at the same time safeguarding community rights. The two organizations also want the government to ensure commitments made to families moved from the fields to other Transau are fulfilled. Most of them are still to receive the decent accommodation they were promised on being moved. Mufumi said Parliament should play an oversight role to scrutinize and recommend mining contracts for strategic national resources like the diamonds. He said civil society in Manicaland province is appalled by the way the government has handled and parceled out mining rights to mine diamonds in Marange. Mufumi says the vilification of civil society working in the extractive sector by some in government is regrettable, adding it is common knowledge that the diamonds have benefited only a few and not the country or the Marange community, which he said had to endure human rights violations, displacements and environmental degradation to pave way for the mining. Freeman Boso, the ZNRDF director, said the future mining ventures in Marange should only be given the green light after ensuring people's rights would be respected. Boso says Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Act on community share ownership schemes has to be revisited to plug the existing gaps and loopholes that mining companies have been exploiting to avoid compliance.
We must play an oversight role to scrutinize and recommend mining contracts for strategic national resources like diamonds. Government must ensure that the new mining venture in Marange undertake human rights impact assessment in order to identify, prevent, mitigate and account for adverse human rights impacts.
Boso says the government must work with other established community-based organizations in Marange and allow communities to choose their own representatives to the community ownership schemes. He says, as civil society, they are ready to work with the government in capacity building to ensure that resources meant for the communities are handled in a transparent manner. The civil society representatives say the government should engage local civil society and community-based organizations for consensus building and developmental issues and human rights monitoring in the Marange diamond fields. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Moyo.
You are listening to Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington.
The Zimbabwe Parliament, in conjunction with the Population Services International Zimbabwe, a leading global health organization with programs targeting HIV and reproductive health, held a cervical cancer screening session in Parliament today. Vice Chairperson of the Women's Parliamentary Caucus and Mufakos Member of Parliament, Paulina Mpariwa, says the program will encourage the 124 women parliamentarians to have early cancer screening in an effort to safeguard their health and be role models for their constituents. Mpariwa spoke to Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye earlier on.
What really is happening is that we had a workshop 2 weeks ago with PSI as our partner for the Zimbabwe Women Parliamentary Caucus, and we found out that amongst one of the deadly diseases that affect women and are actually causing death in women in cervical cancer. So after that workshop, we actually had questions and the way forward. And on the way forward, the women actually requested if they could be tested at Parliament. We, as a parliamentary caucus leadership, we have then invited PSI to come and carry out the voluntary cervical cancer screening, which started today. It's running up until tomorrow. But whatever the discovery is, we want MPs to act as role models. We have members of Parliament, women parliamentarians, who are number up to 124. That is a good size in terms of coverage. So in the communities where they go, they can actually preach what they practice. And I think they can also encourage others to go that route.
What are the benefits of women going for such screening early?
It's very good in that if it has not yet spread to danger levels, it can be treated and you can plan. And you can actually budget. Suppose you are then on a drug, you can actually budget and then you plan your life.
Are you going to release the results of these screenings or what's going to happen?
I think we'll release the number of women that have gone for testing, but we'll also, I think, talk to the women parliamentarians, those that can actually volunteer to actually declare their results. It will be most welcome. And as you know, members of health are also some kind of a confidential thing. We will ask for volunteers to actually volunteer to disclose their results in terms of the counseling and the screening themselves.
That was Mufakos parliamentarian Paulina Mpariwa speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye in Harare.
New World Boxing Council International Welterweight Champion Charles Manyuchi has set his sights on Floyd Mayweather, but questions remain on his ability to feature in big international tournaments. Reporter Michael Kariati reports on this and other issues from Harare.
Boxing fans are excited that Zimbabwean Charles Manyuchi won the World Boxing Council International Welterweight title, though some critics believe that he's still way off the ladder to challenge for what is widely regarded as the biggest money-spinning fight of his life. Although Manucci's world rankings going to rise significantly following his win this weekend over 78th world-ranked Patrice Alote of Ghana, he is still far off from challenging Mayweather for the world title. Despite this setback, his Zambian handlers have utmost faith that he will be up to the big task. Manucci fights under Oriental Boxing Promotions of Zambia, and his promoter Christopher Malonga has no doubt about where the Zimbabwean boxer is headed.
To make sure that he defends it, and when he defends it, we are not saying that Floyd might be there. Whoever is going to be the main champion, we are more than ready to go for that belt. That is a dream of any boxer, to fight for the main WBC belt.
Malunga feels if Azuma Nelson of Ghana could go all the way and win two world titles at two different weight divisions, there is nothing that can stop Manucci from doing the same and challenge and also beat Mayweather.
At the moment where we are now, I think Charles is going to go very far. Charles is going to make this country proud, and is going to make Zambia very proud, and is going to make Africa very proud.
Mayweather is arguably regarded as the highest paid boxer in the world, and the welterweight division has surpassed the heavyweight in terms of boxer purse money due to the high profile boxers, unlike in the past when they sported the likes of Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Joe Frazier, and others. Manucci has gone into history as one of the greatest boxers to emerge from Zimbabwe. Langton Schoolboy won 3 Commonwealth titles in the 1980s. Manucci won the Africa Boxing Union welterweight title in July last year after beating Patrice Kote of Burkina Faso in his own backyard, and defended the title 3 months later against Ghana's Isaac Sowe. His fight against Alotoe was broadcast live on television to millions of Zambian boxing lovers by the Zambian National Broadcasting Corporation, but his Zimbabwean followers had no opportunity to watch him in action. Manucci is expected to arrive to a hero's welcome back home Monday evening. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
The Zimbabwe National Boxing and Wrestling Control Board, meanwhile, says it is happy with Manucci's performance at the weekend in Zambia. Board Secretary Gilbert Monetsi says more than 3,000 people paid to watch the popular Manucci in the fight. He spoke with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Yes, I was in Lusaka to watch the fight, and I can tell you the young man is a real warrior. You can imagine having to go through so many rounds with a broken wrist and a cut above the eye, but still managing to emerge the winner. It is a sign of sheer bravery and a heart and a mind set at nothing but victory. Manucci, from the onset of the bout, was upon his opponent, delivering a series of jabs, uppercuts, hooks, everything according to the strategy that they had in place with the coach. So we watched the top class boxing, that can match any other anywhere in the world. It is a great moment indeed for Manucci and the entirety of the boxing following community in Zimbabwe. It is to be expected because it's a first for the country. We've never won a world title before in the sport of boxing. We've had other fighters who did as proud in the past, the likes of proud Kilimanjaro Chinambiri, Lampion School, Boitnago, Alfonso Zenika, Tansu Madube, but this has been at continental level. Now we are talking the world. So as a boxing regulatory board that has just been in office for a year, we are proud to be associated with this kind of achievement.
We understand that Manucci is based in Zambia, and he is under your board. How does this work?
Well, we are simply a boxing regulatory board in place according to the Boxing Act. What we can do, what we are there for, is to clear boxers when they take part in national duties, such as was the case last weekend. That is, if we are satisfied with everything, the paperwork, the medical, etc., the contract. And it is up to a particular boxer to look for a manager or promotion company to deal with him.
That was Zimbabwe National Boxing and Wrestling Control Board Secretary Gilbert Munetsi in Harare.
Now, before we go, remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 at Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will open the mics for you to speak about cancer in Zimbabwe, especially cervical and others.
To join us on the discussion, please send us text messages on 001 0800-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And now, please do stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntunga Milinkomo and Sithandekile Mhlanga. My name is Chris Gande. Good night.
Very good night. Remember.